It's time for Brother Larry's Sinner's Sunday. Oh yeah. You tell him, Larry. Brother Larry coming at ya.
Thank you, Brother Dre. Thank you, Larry Etz. And welcome everyone to Sinner's Sunday, where the beer is cold, the ribs are hot, and all the women are pointy. This gathering gets a little bigger each week, which is really cool. And amazingly, this creaky old chapel with the neon cocktail sign outside is attracting people of a bunch of different faiths. I've heard from a lot of Jews, a couple of Buddhists, and of course, all flavors of Christians. Plenty of Roman Catholics in the crowd. I had the guys lay in some extra ribs and beer this week, figured there may be an attendance surge with all the bad press this Pope is getting. All these short-eyed priests they're finding in Pennsylvania. I haven't really followed the story very closely. I've already seen that hideous story too damn many times. We've covered a few popes, what I called the devil popes, in episode 80, and they were quite a naughty lot. Girlfriends and illegitimate children and throwing orgies and so on. There were some good ones too, I'd imagine. Hell, there's been 266 of them. Bound to be a few stand-up guys in the bunch. Say, whatever happened to that last guy, Benedict the 16th? He got elected in 05, but bailed by 2013, citing health reasons. It's been quite a while since then. Maybe he wasn't so sick. Benny the 16th might have been at home down the road a piece at the Take No Shit Dojo, because he made it clear that when he took that throne, he was going to kick ass and take names. He actually said that parts of the Catholic Church were a cesspool, and he was going to clean it out. He was also outspoken with some other non-PC views, like his distaste for moral relativism. He said, quote, "Recognizing nothing as definitive leaves as the ultimate criterion only the self with its desires." Damn, if that isn't the blueprint for the selfie people, huh? If everything is subjective, then no one is ever wrong, are they? So Benny 16 stepped on a lot of toes, and it looks like they put him in the corner. And now there's this Frankie guy. And if he's not a commie, he's doing a damn good impression of one. But hey, I'm not here to talk about popes, because they don't matter to us, do they? They're part of that enormous corporation with palaces all over the world, and here we are in this creaky old chapel. What have we got that they haven't got? Ribs and beer and barca loungers and Brother Dre and the lariats, and most of all, we've got the truth on tap here. It isn't filtered or flavored. It isn't pasteurized or homogenized. It simply is. And all around the world today, in those marble and glass palaces, they'll spend a little time reading the Gospel of Mark, where he chronicles a day when JC was hanging near a place he seemed to really dig, the beach. I do believe if JC decided to return incognito, we'd find him wearing board shorts and body surfing. When he was done with that, he'd probably help us shuck some clams, spark the bonfire, and kick back as the sun was going down. I wonder if anyone would figure out it was him. Because you know if they did, in a hot minute, there would be a flash mob on that beach, and the mood would be broken because everyone would have a request. If he was in L.A., those requests would be very little different than a six-year-old might ask of Santa Claus. Because this is the town that put the super in superficial. I can hear goons with bleached teeth and tipped hair and pectoral implants begging him for a Maserati and a new agent and a role in a franchise movie and a swimming pool for their home. If he appeared on some beach on the Gulf Coast or maybe mid-Atlantic, people might request what they requested during his first visit. Miracles. Because it's really kind of low rent to ask anybody for anything you could get on your own, isn't it? But still, people do it all the time. So here was JC, and as usual, word got around that the big dude with special powers was here, and pretty soon, they've got a deaf guy with a severe speech impediment planted in front of JC, and they want to know if he can help him. And JC walks the man away from the crowd so he can do what he needs to do. But somebody must have accompanied him because there's a pretty clear account of how he healed the guy. It says that he first put his fingers in the man's ears, and then he spit on his own fingers and placed them in the man's mouth. And then JC looked heavenward and said, "Be opened." And the man's hearing and speech were restored. And everybody marveled. Then JC asked the people not to talk about what he had done, which is the best way to ensure everyone will blab to everyone they know. So you have to wonder about these things. 2 weeks ago, we talked about how JC broke the state's balls and paid taxes by making coins appear in a fish's mouth. Pretty spectacular. So now he heals a deaf mute. Why did he have to stick his fingers in the guy's ears or in his mouth? Couldn't he have just snapped his fingers and said,
"Now hear this,"
or blinked his eyes, or without word or movement, simply willed the man healed? Probably. So why do the laying on of hands? He'd done some amazing healing before the deaf guy, and almost always with laying on of hands. Maybe for consistency. Maybe he knew his crowd. And back then, when something out of the ordinary happened, often the hip-shot supposition was sorcery. Laying on of hands seemed somehow less abracadabra. A good doctor can heal you with his hands, right? Set a broken bone, or perform some surgery, or even resuscitate us with CPR. So that helped to humanize JC. And the more human he was, the more readily his message would be accepted. This miracle doesn't get a ton of play. Kind of pales in comparison to raising people from the dead, or himself. But maybe, in its own way, it was just as important and vital, because the way to understanding, to wisdom, to enlightenment is through listening. And in these times, hearing isn't enough. This miracle would need to be updated. Now we must listen carefully and with a knowledgeable ear to discern the truth from the avalanche of lies engulfing us. It just keeps getting more and more difficult. Maybe what we need now are squads of guys unleashed on the world, sticking their fingers in people's ears so they can recognize truth, and then touch their tongues so that's all they could say, the truth and nothing but. That would save humanity, wouldn't it? The problem of mass distributed lies has become so extreme, we spend our waking hours on guard, defensively parrying against the never-ending barrage of deceit. And lying was not all that long ago considered a pretty big no-no. But now, it's the lingua franca of the world. Lying has become something people do as a matter of course. No stigma, no guilt, no remorse. And if caught in a lie, well, who really cares? Because everybody does it. And when the lie is something like, "I did not finish that bag of M&Ms," well, so what? But now, lying is de rigueur for lawyers, witnesses, cops, politicians, teachers, journalists, executives, butchers, bakers, candlestick makers, and clergymen. They do it all the time. There was a sci-fi movie a long time ago called Scanners. It was nutty. Some guy got the power to make people's heads explode just by thinking about it. Wouldn't it be great if that Old Testament God, the one that threw fires and floods and plagues and pestilence on people if they pissed him off, wouldn't it be great if he came out of retirement just long enough to do the scanners thing on liars? All right, that's too extreme. Because in a few hours, everyone would be dead. How about whenever you tell a lie, a tooth pops out of your head, front teeth first. So that way, anybody with an Alfred E. Newman smile will be marked as a liar. And then, with each successive lie, you lose another tooth. That would leave us about 32 lies to a lifetime diet of scrambled eggs. And if you haven't learned your lesson by the time you have a Cabbage Patch Doll smile, successive lies will rot off fingers and limbs. If you meet a torso and a head, don't believe a word he says. Hey, thanks for hanging with us today. Come back right about Monday evening. Yeah, we're going to post a smidge early this week for the regular show where we'll take another look at the war on men. There's a commercial I saw that almost made my head explode. It's heating up, folks. And then we'll have some newly unearthed recordings about the funniest incident of the last century, the mass suicides of Heaven's Gate. Until then, when somebody lies to you, call them on it. And if you lie to them and tooth loosens, stop lying immediately.